Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Saints win 13-10. Here we go. We're going to start with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert's rant. You take the win, Bobby. Wasn't pretty. You just take it.
13-10. What was this? Is this the 1960s or the 70s? 13-10. That's not even Dawn Patrol days. Dawn Patrol days, it'd have been like 20-17. Or it would have been 23-20. But 13-10, we got a text online. Can you get a version of beast mode on defense in Seattle? We all know about Marshawn Lynch. What about Double D? What about DeMario Davis? Was that beast mode or what? If we had a whole team of Alvin Kamara and DeMario Davis, we'd go undefeated. They are that good. I truly think we could be an undefeated team if that would occur. Look, he would be first ballot Hall of Famer. I think his career is going to play out that way. I look at Alvin Kamara. He made history tonight. The fastest player to reach 3,000 yards receiving and 3,000 rushing yards in the least amount of games. He did it now in 66 games. Who that nation we all remember, Roger Craig. Remember the running back from Nebraska, played with the 49ers? Well, it took him 70 games. So Alvin Kamara did it in four less games than the great Roger Craig. Now, if you look at it, 2019, how that game unfolded, and Pete Carroll said he didn't realize how good Alvin Kamara was. Well, he didn't pay attention to what he was saying because Alvin Kamara did even better than he did in 2019. In 2019, he had 161 yards from scrimmage. So you look at his impact, his input. Well, today he had 30 touches, 179 yards from scrimmage. So, Christian, you're talking about, almost 20 yards more. And I've said this about Alvin Kamara. Sean Payton knows this, that he is that good. We need him game in and game out. Now, people got to help him out, and we got to be prolific offense and convert on third down, not like we did today where we're only 2 of 13. I can't remember the last time we've been 15% on offense on third down. I don't think that ever happened under Drew Brees. We were 2 of 15%, to say the least, that's not good. But I think if we convert more on third down, look, we had 68 plays. You want to have 65 plays. Then I think Alvin Kamara is going to get more touches game in and game out where he can have, to me, the measuring stick is 150 yards. He had 179. 150, now if he doesn't get 150, 130. 130 because I think he has that skill set, and that's what it's going to take. I think for this team, to Alvin Kamara, to have that kind of input. If you look at it, Sean Payton always has the team ready after the bye week. The bottom line, if you look at it now, the good news, Sean Payton has done well after the bye. Christian, the past six seasons, we're 5-1. So that's not an opinion. It's not perfect, but that's pretty damn good in the National Football League. That we are 5-1 after the bye week. When I look at it, as far as what has come about, as far as the road warriors that the Saints are, Christian, now, this is unbelievable how dominant the Saints are. On the road since 2018, we're now 24 wins and 5 losses. You know, we need the dome. We need the dome to win. We need a dome field advantage. What? We'd be doing good if that was like 14-14 or right at 500. We're now 24-5 on the road. That is unbelievable. In Seattle, we've had their number through the years. You know, I played them like three times. I had a couple of wins. But you're looking out overall, the Saints are 9-6 in the regular season, you know, versus Seattle Seahawks. And since Sean Payton became head coach, they have now won 5 of 6 regular season meetings. So Sean Payton has their number, and we didn't hit the trifecta, Christian. Always talked about when we force turnovers, and if we don't have any turnovers, but the one thing, scoring defense. I think that's pretty damn good. Giving up 10 points, hell yeah, we should win. Well, allowing 20 or fewer points, we only gave up 10 under Sean Payton. We're now 89 wins and 8 losses when we allow 20 or fewer points. So, again, scoring defense, Bama don't break and all that. I would say that I'm a little disappointed because I was bragging on this going into the bye week. I said, we keep doing this. There's no way we can lose. That being red zone offense. And goal line offense, well, Chris, we kind of laid an egg tonight. We were number one, but not like the previous games. We were 1 of 4. 25% in goal-to-goal, we were 0 for 3. But it is what it is. I know that's a key stat. And we were -1 in the turnover margin, but we still +4 for the season. I thought, now, defensively on third down, that's outstanding. It's third down, but they suck too. We were 2 of 13. Listen to this, Hootie Nation. They were 3 of 12, 25%. We keep doing that. Now, boy, I wish we could do that against Tampa Bay and the Bucks. I would like that. That means they're off the field, and then I'd score it. Now, easier said than done. It was a penalty. Happy crew, how they throw the flag. They call 13 penalties. They usually throw 13 to 15. The Saints were right on the cusp. We had 7 for 90 yards, so it didn't really hinder us. But are we going to get more into it? But we end up having the ball more than 5 minutes than they did. 21 first downs to their 14, but this was an ugly win. But the bottom line is that we won the game. And then when you look at Double D, 10 total tackles, 7 unassisted, a couple of sacks, 3 quarterback hurries, 4 tackles for a loss, pass defended. He was playing like a man possessed, to say the least. And Seattle, you want to know how bad they have it right now? They've now lost 4 straight at home in Seattle. Now, 3 straight this season. That's the first time they lost 3 straight at home. You got to go back in the season to 1992. Christian, I was still playing. That's how bad it is right now in Seattle, trying to take care of their home field advantage.
That's a wrap for Bobby's post-game rant. Stick around. We're just getting started here on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick back here on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints win 13-10. And Bobby, what was your stat earlier, though, about that uniform combination the Saints wore tonight?
Oh, yeah. You were laughing at me in the pregame.
I was.
Man, I was going to bring that up, Christian. The Saints now wearing their – they got to wear this more often because look at the record. The Saints – while wearing white tops with black pants, Christian, they're now 10-0. Okay, so look at it. They went 3-0 in 2020, the COVID year.
10-0 since when?
Since 2018.
Okay.
They've worn that combination with the white tops and the black pants, and they 10 wins and 0 losses. I guarantee you Sean Payton remembers that. I'm like, hell, wear the same thing against Tampa Bay next week. What? This is an important game, to say the least. To beat the Buccaneers, we 10-0. I don't know, white tops, black pants. I don't know how the Hootie Nation feels about it, but we 10-0 wearing that combination. So make it 11-0. You want to save it for playoffs, maybe?
Bobby, I've always said I don't care if they're wearing pink, purple, blue.
But it doesn't have any impact.
Is
that
on
a strange coincidence? Sean's
yeah,
a little,
just a coincidence.
But Sean,
if you're superstitious,
Sean's
it matters
a little
to you.
Superstitious about that. I'm telling you. He's not going to forget that 10-0 wearing this combination, whether you like it or not. You know, people say, I like the all whites. What do they call it? The Rush uniforms or whatever, color Rush. But all I know, the white tops, black pants, they 10-0 since 2018.
I want you to ask Sean Payton, the next coach's show.
I will.
If he considers
tomorrow
that.
Night, I'm bringing that up. I'm going to say, Coach, do you consider that? He'll probably tell me, well, Bobby, you know I do. Because he pays attention to detail to everything. Nothing gets past
I'd
Sean
be surprised.
Payton.
I'd be surprised if he says that he's aware of that.
It ain't a coincidence. I'm telling you. Sean Payton pays attention to detail to everything. Well, whether it's good luck, bad luck, whatever luck it might be.
If they were 9-0 coming into tonight since 2018 in that uniform combination, why weren't they wearing it more?
Because they weren't wearing it more because he was waiting for a special game. He knew to win at Seattle, you need some special formula. We need some mojo. And it worked. A 13-10 game? I mean, come on.
Oh,
in
man.
This day and age, you score 13 points and you win. And you know why we won? We got a hellacious defense. No, we have a defense. Now, I think you got to score more than 13 points against Tampa Bay. But still, if our defense, I'm telling you, Chris, the way we structured, 20 or fewer points, and there's been a track record. I said that on the Sean Payton. 20 or fewer points, the Saints are 89 wins and 8 losses. So we get our scoring defense amongst the best in the league. And even if it's the high teens, let's say it's 18, 19 when all said and done, that's how you get the double-digit wins.
Whatever works for you,
yeah,
Bobby.
Right? No, it's working.
The other thing is, you mentioned the Saints defense, and they are playing well. The byproduct of that, the unfortunate byproduct of that is going to be Dennis Allen's going to get another opportunity, at least to interview to be a head coach in the NFL again.
Oh, but
somebody's going to give him an opportunity.
Yeah, but that's just the different coaches off Bill Parcells, the coaching tree, Sean Payton, how, you know, you have a mentor, then you learn from your mentor, then you have your own team. And Dennis Allen now, compared to when he first time he's with the Raiders, way more experience. And to put it this way, there's not 32 head coaches in the National Football League. Head coaches better than Dennis Allen. So, yeah, he'll get another opportunity. And Sean Payton's not going to – he's not going to squash that. They're just part of the game. That's a good problem to have. That means you're having success when other teams want your coaches. Remember that.
Yeah, for sure. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, this is the Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We'll get to your calls next. Couple stats you're going to love, Bobby. Back here on the Point After, Saints win 13-10. We'll get to your calls in a minute. Look, you beat the Seattle Seahawks. Doesn't matter how you do it on the road. It's always nice for the Saints, for any team to go to Seattle.
Significant, yep.
After the TD catch from Metcalf that totaled 84 yards, for the rest of the game, DK Metcalf had one reception for 12 yards. Now, here's the other big stat. The Saints are the 23rd team to face both Bill Belichick and Pete Carroll on the road in the same season, and the only team to beat them both.
Well, it just shows the challenge, and that's probably alive on the 21st century. This would be Pete Carroll post-USC and Bill Belichick since he's been with the Patriots. You know, he started on the 90s, the Cleveland Browns and all that. So that'd be Bill Belichick basically with the Patriots and Pete Carroll with the Seahawks. And it doesn't happen. Because they are that talented, and you on the road, right, dog? And on the road happening, and to beat them in the same season, that is impressive. Look, you might not understand or like certain play calls by Sean Payton, but overall, the scheme of things, and you look offense, defense, and special teams, we very seldom going to get our coach. That it's not going to be where – I'm not saying it's 100%. But it's very seldom going to be like, oh, well, we outclass. Or, no, we usually setting the tone. And I can tell you right now, Sean Payton knows way more than Bruce Arians with Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now,
where Sean's masterful, Bobby, you tell me if I'm wrong here. He's really good about communicating to the players what it's going to take, how this game might unfold, what to expect, right?
Right.
And kind of lay that out for him and say, this is probably how the game's going to maybe unfold and boil down to this. It's always about turnovers, obviously.
Right,
but
right.
I'm talking about things like, you know, he said in the postgame, they felt like coming in, points were going to be at a premium because the weather. And
the weather wasn't as bad as they thought.
Right.
You know, and now you have different spurts that could affect the game. But it wasn't as bad, for instance, if you watched the game last night, the Colts in San Francisco.
Yeah.
The weather was way worse in San Francisco. But the point being is that Sean Payton and the game plan that they put forth, Christian, okay, we could do this on a show on Sports Talk during the week. Okay, what head coach or coaching staff do you think, we have no chance with head-to-head? I don't think there's any staff. I don't care, Andy Reid and the Chiefs. You can go through every team and how they're structured. Now, Bruce Arians, I think he truly is a player's coach. But when you look at X's and O's, you can't. Sean Payton would never make this statement. Remember when he said, when he told Jameis, and now, and they had to get away from that with Tom Brady, like
no risk and no biscuit.
Yeah, what? No risk and no biscuit. That is not a good strategy in the NFL if you want to win. Now, it might be entertaining, and you might have some chunk play, nice chunk plays, but no risk and no biscuit. That's not championship football. Until Tom Brady got to do what he wanted to do, you notice in the back end of the season how they started winning all those games in a row? But Tom Brady had to get his feet wet in a Buccaneers uniform. So it was completely different. It's going to be a lot bigger challenge. And look, we had a chance to three-peat, beat him three times last year. But then we got him in the dome. Halloween, it's going to be crazy. But the Buccaneers are so much better than when we played them in the regular season twice last year. Look, you remember we beat him by 11 points to kick off the season? Tom Brady probably was just trying to learn the plays where they're not second nature. Then we crushed them. What, prime time? 38-3. Kind of like how they just waxed the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
It was very similar. The Bears beat them last year. So now, this would be the first game that I think, that would be the second game because I didn't think, and we did it, I didn't think we'd upset the Packers like we did in week one. Not only upset them, we kicked their butts. And I think we'd have to upset Tampa Bay. Seattle said, hell yeah, we got to beat Seattle. They don't have Russell Wilson. It does matter when you play a team. I don't care if you're in Seattle. We should win that game, and we did.
Right to our Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text lines, we find David from the hospital. I got to find out why David's calling from the hospital. Go ahead, David. You're on the point after on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hey.
You all right, David?
Yeah.
The game didn't put you in the hospital, did it?
I just got a knee replacement.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
35 years old.
You laid up and you watched the Saints, so what do you think?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm a diehard Saints fan. I love listening to y'all's show because you break it down so good. The one thing I was thinking about, is the wide receiver position. You know, like,
David, what wide receiver position? Tonight.
But how does it get better with what we got?
Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas comes back, we didn't have our two best receivers, who I think has gotten better, not just a returner. Deontay Harris, Harris, not sure. Only a receiver. How about Callaway? How about you run a punt back instead of fair catching? I don't know if he was scared.
Traquan Smith, he's not the answer, for sure.
Traquan Smith, I told him to keep his butt in Seattle. Don't let him come back even on the plane.
Yeah, Bobby wanted to cut him in the fourth quarter.
And I'll tell you, at the beginning of the game, like Deuce said, maybe he needs to get up to speed. That was not a bad pass by Jameis Winston. How about you keep running? Keep running. That was a nice pass. Come on, Traquan. Run, that was a nice pass by Jameis. Then it was 3rd and 6. Now, the throw was a little off, but he still should have caught it. Man, Traquan is a little too prima donna right now for me, and he ain't done jack. I mean, I'm on Jameis' side with that. Oh, yeah, Barry, you're a quarterback. That's what you expect. No, come on, Traquan. We need right now, more than ever, we need Michael Thomas and Deontay Harris to come back sooner rather than later, and that would be nice if they could come back against the Buccaneers.
David, hope you heal up from your knee replacement surgery. Thanks for calling the show. Back to your calls when we return here on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. 13-10, welcome back to The Point After. Saints win on the road against the Seattle Seahawks. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, right to our Oakland Heart Jewelers. Talk and text lines. Jimmy and Gretna, what's going on? Jimmy, you're on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hey, Christian. Hey, Bobby. How's it going?
Hey, what you got, Jimmy?
Hey, I'll make it quick. Look, I usually watch the games. I got this one DVR'd. I saw a couple plays at the beginning. I listened to the rest on the radio app and was at work. But, look, we won. Okay, we're 4-2.
Right.
Okay. One game, Winston looks like all pro. The Saints fans, the Who Dat Nation is saying he's the heir to Drew Brees. The next game, he kind of lays the egg. The next game, he kind of barely squeaks out. He does pretty good. He kind of doesn't. He looks kind of good here. He doesn't. My question to you guys is this. At 4-2, do you think you guys, with y'all's expertise, do you think Sean Payton, I know it might be too early, but with this up and down pattern, is it too early to say that, you know, Sean Payton trusts this guy for the year or long term? Or is he looking at the situation like, man, we'll be lucky if we make the playoffs? If we
No, it ain't going to be luck. No, he's definitely the guy for this year, but I don't see them investing 20, 30 million in him in the future. I said this before, that I truly don't believe the future quarterback is on the Saints right now as far as, you know, the 2022 season. Now, with that being said, no, Jameis is the guy now. And I still think they would maybe welcome back Jameis next year, but it still would be at the Saints' price.
Bring somebody else in.
Yes, not so much that it would be we want to keep the team solid, but we don't necessarily. It'd be almost kind of like Jameis could turn into Teddy Bridgewater, almost like a journeyman starter, if that makes sense. You know how Teddy Bridgewater all of a sudden leaves the Saints? Okay, he comes, Christian, he was a starter with the Vikings, comes to the Saints, he's backing up Drew, he leads us to 5-0, he goes to Carolina. You know, they're winning, they're competing.
I think he was a bit of a scapegoat, though.
But he's a starter, and then they use him as scapegoat, but then he goes to Denver. He's a starter in Denver. I think if Jameis wants to get paid, he might have to go that route, and Teddy's really not getting paid like you would think a franchise quarterback. So I think Jameis would be intriguing that if you want, like, a contract in the teen millions instead of 20, 30 million, then that's a different thing. How are you building your team? But I just don't think right now that we got to wait and see how this plays out. Because look how significant this could be in the NFC South. I know it's still early. It could be a lot of games to play come middle, late November, come January. Hopefully you're playing on. But just look at the NFC South. Boy, the schedule, it couldn't be any better. Like playoff games right now in November. You got Tampa Bay Halloween Day. Guess who we play next? Atlanta. Atlanta's like 3-3. So you want to get a grasp or get a hold of the NFC South? Christian, we're going to have to win now 4 in a row when you think about it. You know, we're winning one, lose one, win one, lose one. Then all of a sudden you think, okay, is that pattern going to continue? Because then you're a 500 team. But what all of a sudden, you upset Tampa Bay, you take care of business against Atlanta, all of a sudden you've won 4 in a row. And look how – and the team we lost to, you would not have thought we'd have lost to them.
But they also just beat the Panthers, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And they beat them pretty decisively.
Beat them down.
Yeah, pretty much shut them out. Jake in Gainesville, Florida, you're next when we return here on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Bobby and Christian back here on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Black and Gold win 13-10 over the Seattle Seahawks. DK Metcalf, Bobby, 5 targets, 2 receptions, 96 yards, a long of 84 on 1 reception. That was his biggest play of the game. It got Seattle the early lead. But Marshawn Lattimore shut him down after that.
Oh, yeah. Listen, the only thing, Marshawn Lattimore has to be more disciplined because we're paying him to be more disciplined. And we're paying him not only to be Pro Bowl but all pro. And he is an all pro. I mean, he ain't scared of nothing, Christian. He is truly a shutdown corner. But if he could be disciplined enough to not react, because you know how they always catch the second guy and Metcalf was baiting him? I mean, he had 2 personal fouls. Come on, dude. That could cost you the game. You can
after the whistle personal foul.
Yes, after the whistle you might. Because the one when you say, well, Metcalf hit him first kind of, but the play was still going on. And then he, I'm going to get you back. And then it's after the whistle. Then the official sees that, and he throws the flag. Now, to me, on that 84-yard touchdown, and I can tell you that's how they're calling it, I don't want the official to call a penalty on that because it might be Michael Thomas or one of our guys, and they kind of chicken fighting the receiver and the DB. To me, that's a no call. Now, what needs to happen – okay, Metcalf's a bigger guy than Lattimore, even though Lattimore is going to hold his own overall. But what needs to happen is, damn it, Marcus Williams don't need to miss that tackle. What was this, the Seahawks miracle? Now, I know it was at the beginning of the game. Come on, Marcus Williams. You're better than that. You've learned. Take the right angle and get the receiver out of bounds. Don't go for no kill shot or be out of control, and then you whiff, and then he goes down the sideline. So that would have been a big chunk play, but it wouldn't have been an 84-yard touchdown. So even though Lattimore got beat, that's why you have a safety over the top. Marcus Williams had to stop that from being an 84-yard touchdown. And I'm saying you don't got to cream him. All you got to do is get him down. You push him out of bounds. Just take the right angle.
To be fair,
Marcus
though,
Williams messed that up.
To be fair, though, Marcus Williams, if you look at that the replay, was playing on the right hash, and they ran the safety down in the box, and Marshawn was one-on-one with DeCap. So he had to come from the far hash to make that play. That's a tough play to make. Well, I get it, though. But you use the boundary as a defender.
Yes, the far hash, but he still was kind of control deep middle. And then, Christian, it's not like he got outran. You know, like, No, he kind of overran him. So, I mean, you still had the pursuit to just got to get him down. And that's one thing. Marcus Williams has been outstanding. He's going to get paid a lot of money. But, boy, those players get magnified. Those type plays get magnified when you're in the back end of the safety when you're giving up potentially a big play that turns into a big touchdown. And, you know, we all remember what happened in the Minneapolis Miracle, mm-hmm. and Marcus Williams has gotten a whole lot better. He's going to get paid, I'm telling you. He's going to get paid, but those are the kind of plays you got to make and get him down and not give up that touchdown. Because we said this before the game, there was no way that Seattle was going to have 12, 13, 14 play drive and score. Make Seattle drive, the Saints are going to be fine. But you can't give up that bomb or like that. That's what I said. That's exactly what we talked about in the pregame. Cannot happen. All of a sudden, we're down 7-0.
Jake in Gainesville, Florida, you're on the point after on the New Orleans Saints radio network.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Christian. How y'all doing? So my question, with Jameis Winston, Tre'Quan Smith, Deontay Harris, and Marquez Callaway, not even mentioning Kamara, is this offense, does it have enough weapons to bring us where we want to go? NFC Championship, Super Bowl.
I think with Michael Thomas back, I think if Michael Thomas is the NFL Offensive Player of the Year, Drew Brees throwing the ball, but if he can come back and have that kind of impact and influence the defense, whether they're having to double cover him or he's definitely winning one-on-one all the time, yes, because Deontay Harris has become a better receiver. I would say right now on paper, the number one receiver would be Michael Thomas. Number two would be Deontay Harris. Number three would be Marquez Callaway. I don't even know where Tre'Quan. We want
Kenny Stills.
Yeah, Kenny Stills or Tre'Quan would be after
Lil
that.
Jordan.
Kenny,
they're all ahead of Tre'Quan.
Kenny Stills dropped a deep ball that I thought Jameis Winston put in his hands.
Yeah, Kevin White dropped one on back-to-back plays.
Kevin White, come on. Kevin White, Christian, think about where he was drafted and the expectations. And we'd see him do great in practice when they brought him on board. What was the preseason game? He was terrible. He dropped like two or three balls, and we cut him. Then we put him back on the practice squad. Well, now you're in a real game. How about you catch the ball? Then you do that at West Virginia? That is one guy, Christian. I don't know how many chances he's going to get. He's gotten a bunch of chances to try and make it because he looks everything.
Because he can run.
He can run. He looks great, but you got to finish. You got to make the catch. You got to catch the ball.
Jake, thanks for the phone call. We'll continue here on the point after. The Saints win 13-10 over the Seattle Seahawks coming off the bye week. New Orleans is now 4-2 on the year. Seattle falls to 2-5.
And Christian, we didn't even get to the tight end. How about Troutman?
Yeah, I know. That's a sore spot for you.
Well, what? How can you fumble? We thought Jerry Cook left. The tight ends catch the ball and they fumble? We don't need none of that.
It's beginning to become common.
Contagious.
Yeah.
They'll turn a tight end. They're going to catch it and fumble.
This is the point after here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the point after, 13-10. Saints beat the Seattle Seahawks on our Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text lines. Wide open at 504-260-1870. Mike in Mid-City. What's going on, Mike? You're on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hey, my friend. How you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
Man, I'll tell you. Hey, where you at, Bobby?
All right,
man,
what you got?
I'll tell you, a win is better than a loss. You know, I'll be feeling a lot worse. I'll be feeling a lot worse if we would have lost. You know, but, I mean, this is one of the most embarrassing wins, bro. that we probably ever experienced.
How can it be embarrassing to win a game?
It's hard to win in the NFL, especially on the road, Mike. Come on.
Yeah. Come on, man. Look, man, the whole league was watching this year's performance. You know, I mean, y'all talk about Marcus Williams going to get a lot. Bobby, you talking about you're going to make a lot of money, man. Man, this man misses this tackle on the sideline, but it's like deja vu from the Viking playoff game, man.
I know. That's what Saints fans remember. But I'm just telling you, if you look at his grade game in and game out, he's amongst the best in the NFL. I'm telling you, Mike, think about this. Okay, we let somebody else pay Trey Hendrickson. Look what Trey Henderson's doing with the Bengals right now. I think he's leading the NFL with quarterback hurries, quarterback pressures, and he's sacking the quarterback. Oh, by the way, Cam Jordan did get his first sack, so that's a good thing. But I understand what you said, Mike. It's an ugly win. And when you think about it, you have no confidence that you're going to win anything in this day and age when you win like 13-10. Mike, go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
And another thing. Jameis Winston, bro. I mean, will we actually going? You think we're going to pay him $12 million again next year for this performance? Him and Seattle quarterback, they look like what and what?
Mutton Jeff. I don't know. The Geno's a journeyman backup. Jameis, I think, would be in more in a category right now. Teddy Bridgewater. Like a traveling
gap.
Guy.
Bridge the gap starter.
Kind of like Andy Dalton, maybe. Because there's a handful of guys that are like that that still can make in the team, still can make like $12 million, but not $25 to $30 million, nothing like that.
And here, there was one play in a red zone when Jameis Winston had Marquez Callaway.
He had Marquez Callaway
on the end line break free and open early in the route. And he waited and he tried to throw a Bobby Wagner, got his hands on it and tipped it out of play.
Wait. Okay, Christian, I know what you're saying right now. That was a combination of Marquez Callaway not knowing what the hell he's doing and Jameis not knowing what he was doing.
Not throwing with anticipation. Yeah.
Okay, anticipation. Because if that was like a Michael Thomas or Drew Brees, there was a zone coverage with the Seahawks. It happened so fast that Callaway kept going, and he ran into the coverage. Just stay straight up and hook up in the zone. Now, Jameis, if I was Jameis, I would have just threw it right there. And if it looks like it's a bad pass, then you could have witnessed that and go, Callaway, come on. Look where the hole is. You got to sit right there, and we have a touchdown. So I think, I don't know if Jameis even realized that. That Callaway, I know did not read that. And there was another play with Jameis. Remember when he ended up scrambling? I know he doesn't want to make a mistake in the red zone. And he can make plays with his feet, and he had a nice run. I think Troutman was open by at least 10, 15 yards in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You never – that's high school open. That's like Little League open. I don't even think the Seahawks knew where he was.
No, that's busted the coverage.
You could have thrown almost like a punt or just to get it out there to Troutman, and it had been a touchdown. See, those are kind of things – that catch up with you sooner or later and could be a difference. If you don't make those type plays, you're not a championship team.
Yeah, and look, the elite quarterbacks make you pay for busted coverages. They just do.
Okay, those two plays I just described. Watch what would happen.
Tom Brady eat your lunch on it.
And their receiving core with the Buccaneers, how they'd run that. Are any one of the Buccaneers tight ends that open? Tom Brady ain't going to miss them. Bottom line.
Mike, thanks for the phone call. This is The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And welcome in on this now Tuesday morning. The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Saints 13-10 over the Seattle Seahawks on Monday Night Football. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Time now for the Diamond in the Rough performance of the game presented by Friend & Company. You have a friend in the jewelry business. Tano Passanio, Bobby, let's go there. I mean, brought over from the Chiefs in free agency. He was expected to kind of, you know, just be a complimentary piece up front. He's turned into quite the player.
Well, Christian, since Double D, DeMario Davis, household name, the leader of the team, he had a couple of sacks today. They're both now leading the team in sacks. DeMario Davis has 3 sacks. Passanio has 3 sacks. Like I said, Cam Jordan ended up getting a sack. Christian, this is what we expect game in and game out, because I think we're that good defensively. We ended up with 5 sacks. I think we are 4 or 5 sack team now. I'd be glad if we get Tom Brady 2 or 3 times, to get him to hold on to the ball. But, yeah, passing y'all now, 3 sacks. Christian, like I said, Double D, DeMario Davis, 3 sacks. And then if you look at it now, quarterback hurries. He is now also leading the team with 6. And he has, tackles for a loss. He now has 2. So bank for your buck in free agency, Christian. Diamond in the rough. That is money well spent bringing him on board from the Chiefs.
Right back to our Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Keith in New Orleans East. What's going on, Keith? You're on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Kristen, Uncle Bob, how you guys doing tonight?
All right.
What's up, Keith?
Listen, man, I am washing my hands with Trey Smith and Adam Trautman. I mean, every time I see, every time that name is called, it was something bad, it seems like. You know, and to say Trey Kwan's the only, I mean, the vet of the wide receiver room right now, for him to come back and play like that, that's unacceptable.
You know what, Keith? It's like he didn't even know the playbook or like the speed of the NFL game. He's not a rookie.
Yeah.
Did you notice at the beginning, Jameis, we were ready to roll. Jameis threw that ball. Why did you stop running? Run!
Why he stopped running?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. You got to be kidding.
Bobby and Kristen, you notice, you know, when they were going back and forth, Sean Payton was right there. He didn't say anything. So, obviously, that made me think that Jameis was telling him right. He was getting his ass.
Without a doubt.
Another thing, guys, my final point is if you had told me that the Saints would have all these injuries, not play, only have 1 home game, not have half the coaching staff for a game, we have a chance to be the first in the division next week, I would tell you a damn lie, man.
Right. I'd have said probably the same thing, Keith.
Keith, thanks for the phone call.
No, we're in the driver's seat right now. You think about this. Christian, now we're not at the halfway point, but it's a big enough sample size. Right now, we definitely in control of our own destiny. You know who's not in control of their own destiny, and you look at their expectations. How about the Chiefs and the Seahawks? Well, look at the Seahawks trying to catch the Cardinals. What did the Seahawks win? 2 games now? They're 5 games, and the Cardinals are 7-0. Then the Rams. So when you look at that, I'm telling you, that's how tough the NFL is. You go from the penthouse to the outhouse, like the Chiefs, and then now the injury with Russell Wilson, the Seahawks, or you could go from the outhouse to the penthouse, look at the Bengals, and leading the AFC North. That's what makes the NFL so special. And look, it was a double-digit winning team. They won 1 game, the Dolphins. So where are they at? They won 1 game. I'm telling you, it's hard to win in the NFL. But no one thought the Saints would be where they're at post-Drew Brees. I think it's Sean Payton and the stability. And Christian, I think of our leaders. And then I think our defense. I'm telling you, overall, we haven't played that perfect game. But our defense, to me, can hang with any defense. Now, you might say, well, you're just being a homer about that. But I'm telling you, I truly think we're right there. If you look at it, Christian, that as long as you can stop the run. Now, I think this is still the case right now. It's going to be a challenge come Halloween. Which team can run the ball? Maybe both of them can't. Because nobody's been able to run on Tampa Bay, and really no one has been able to run on the Saints. The 1 and 2 defenses against the run. So that'll be interesting. Which running game can the running game, like Leonard Fournette, can he help Tom Brady in the Bucs, or can somebody help Jameis, Alvin Kamara? So that'd be interesting to see who's going to win that battle. I like our offensive line. Obviously, Tampa Bay's offensive line's better. The one weakness I know that Tampa Bay has is their secondary. You've given Jameis time to throw. Come on, Michael Thomas, you got to play. We should be able to exploit their secondary.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, still to come. You'll hear from Saints linebacker DeMario Davis next here on the Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Not the Seattle Seahawks. Saints win 13-10 on Monday Night Football. Saints linebacker DeMario Davis, 10 combined tackles, 2 sacks, a pass breakup, nearly an interception. Here is the Saints linebacker following the victory.
Yeah, you got to stick with the game plan. We knew they would have a tough time driving all the way down the field just because of how our defense is set up, knowing that we could be strong against the run game, which we knew they wanted to do, run the ball and try to create play actions. And other than that, we just needed to take 14 and 16 out of the game. So we knew they would have a hard time driving it down the field, and we just wanted to stay true to that. You know, they were able to get that explosive play. Good play by them, good player. But, you know, we weren't going to let that derail us from what we were kind of locked in to do. You good?
How much pride do you take in how y'all finished the game? You sacked Jenkins,
fourth and 28 at the end of the game. I mean, we take a lot of pride in our defense. We got to be able to play complimentary football, but, you know, we have a very high standard for our group. And there's no other way that we would take it. You know, defense on the field with the game on the line. We're an excited group. We play with a lot of energy. But, you know, we get a little extra energy in those situations, you know. I mean, I'm a mindset person. You know, I'm always trying to find the positive, you know. I definitely want that play, but the way I kind of spin it in my mind is it just means I'm getting closer and closer to getting more of them. So, you know, I just think what you focus on is what comes to you. That's how I look at it. Yeah, I told you, man. We already getting pressures. Eventually, you'll end up getting the sacks, and so, we got a good group. We have a good game plans. We've been effective with getting pressures on quarterbacks, and a lot of times that's more important because that's what, like, you just want to affect the quarterback. It's not always about getting him to the ground. If you hit him, or you know, sometimes. If he lets the ball go and you get pressure on him, you can force an interception. You know, sometimes they want to take the sack. And so, sacks look good. You know, we all like to get sacks. It looks good in the stat sheet when we finish at the top of the league every year in sacks. But it's a bigger picture. And that's why, you know, what we talked about earlier this week, you know, we've been getting pressure on the quarterback. And so we're not going to change our game plan or be trying to panic and try to figure out what we need to do different. We just need to affect the quarterback, and if we continue to do that, we're going to be all right.
Speaking of sacks, you had 2, the team collectively had 5. Was there something that they were doing that you were able to exploit, or is it just keeping after it as you have all year long?
That's a credit to the cover guys. If you can take away the first read and he has to hold the ball, a credit to the D coordinator and, Ryan on D-line having a good rush plan for us. And then guys just executing their job. You know, our mentality, it's fun to play in a defense when you know all you got to do is do your job and it's going to work most of the time. And, you know, guys just did their job. And I think we were getting some pressures early on and we weren't getting them to the ground. And we were just like, we got to find a way to get them to the ground. And we were able to do that. And so, they have a good offensive line. Geno is making his reads and doing a good job. We were just fortunate enough to get there.
You haven't watched them yet, but would you consider this one of your better games? 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits, 4 tackles for loss, pass defense, almost a pick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm my harshest critic. So it's kind of hard for me to find my best game or my worst game. I always just feel like it could have been better. you know, and so, you know, I'm certainly happy that I was able to help the team get a win. Certainly glad that our defense played as strong as we played tonight. I think that's kind of more so where I'm at in my career. You know, they talk about a lot of the top linebackers across the league, and, you know, they kind of move those numbers around. But who's putting the best unit out on the field, right? As a Mike linebacker, you're the leader of a defense, right? And I think that's what my mentality is. Like, our defense played great tonight. And so I'm excited when the defense plays great, because I believe that's a reflection of how well, you know, anchor players on your defense are doing. It's a lot of fun playing with those guys, you know, some really talented guys. You know, I don't take it for granted. And when you see our energy and excitement, you see the Juice Boys, that's two Z's, make sure everybody get that. That energy, it's just because, you know, we have a lot of fun playing with each other. Like, you know, it's a genuine brotherhood, it's genuine love. And we just get excited for each other. And so having those guys, I know it means a lot for them to be back out there and in that type of atmosphere. I mean, you just enjoy those type of moments. Electric crowd. I don't think they realized that they was giving us energy by playing the music and crowd getting loud. And that feeds us. So, yeah, it was just a lot of fun being out there and, you know, having our guys back out there. I know it meant a lot to them. It was just a lot of fun. Well, first of all, we want to be fundamentally sound. That's the big part of us. We want to be fundamentally sound between the whistles. If it's penalties happening between the whistles, that's one thing. But, you know, sometimes guys want to be tough on the field and, you know, talk after the play or do extra after the play. And, like, man, this is the most physical sport there is. You got 7 seconds, 8 seconds to be as physical as you want to be. If you got a point to prove, prove it between the whistles. And so I'm never going to be the guy to let something like that fly when guys are talking to my guys, you know, after the whistle and doing extra, you know, because at that point you're just trying to bully somebody. And if you want to bully, like, I've always been the guy that's going to bully the bully. And so I think, you know, your teammates appreciate when you have their back like that. You know, it's not like I'm going to go out and do – I try to stay pretty level-headed between the whistles and, you know, and while I'm on the field. But I'm always having my teammates back. And I think they appreciate it, and it gives them, you know, motivation to know that they can go back and do their thing and they don't got to worry about somebody trying to come at them after the play or something. Yeah, he blocked me to play before after the whistle. So I'm like, you're going to get your chance to block me between the whistles. It was the very next play. It just so happened. Okay. So, and I was trying to talk to him, and Pete probably grabbed me. He did a good job because I was a little fired up right there. But it's like, you know, we have 6-7 seconds between the whistles. We don't need no fake tough guys. Like, you know, the extra pushing after the play and talking after the play, that's not going to get any of us anywhere. You know, like, it's a physical game. You're going to get your shot if you want it. And that just so happened to be the next play. So I approached that one, you know, with a little intention and purpose.
That was just going on, like, just in general across all positions. The Lattimore thing was the one that everyone saw, but I guess that was...
Yeah, it was a little chirpy and a little scrappy out there tonight, you know. And it was an electric atmosphere. It's Monday Night Football. You know, everybody got... They brothers and sisters and mamas and grandmas watching. So they, I don't know. I talk my trash, but I ain't never been, you know, I don't understand the extra chirping and trying to prove that you tough. It's a tough game. You don't have to do that. And if you tough, it'll show, you know, between the whistles. But it was a little chirpy out there tonight. But at the end of the day, our coaches were staying on us about, you know, understanding that the ultimate goal is to come in and get a win and not get caught up in a lot of that. And I think we stayed level-headed for the most part. I'm a big picture guy. I try to stay macro, and I know I'm kind of responsible for all the guys out there, and so I can't ever, you know, really lose my cool. And it's hard on the guys that the action is directed at. You know, when somebody comes and push you out to the play or try to tackle you, you know, after the whistle's blown, or somebody come up and call you all these different names. For some reason, they never come to me. So, like, I'm the guy that gets to go in to defend my guys. And a lot of times I'll try to attract the energy to me because I know I'm not going to, you know, do something, you know, to that magnitude. But, you know, they just continue to try to do little stuff. I think for the most part, everybody knows, like, you know, you putting your team in jeopardy by doing something crazy. And so, you know, just let it go. Next play, get your shot back. Thank you, guys. Y'all be blessed.
Saints All-Pro linebacker DeMario Davis again had a heck of a night in the win over the Seattle Seahawks on the road. Bobby, we're going to continue to break down DeMario Davis because I want to talk about just the fact that he's here in New Orleans and how he got here. It's amazing. This is the Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Point After, Saints win 13-10 on Monday Night Football. On the road in Seattle, DeMario Davis, 10 combined tackles, 2 sacks. And you look at him, Bobby, it's a wonder he got out of New York with the Jets. It's even a bigger wonder, oh, wait, it's the Cleveland Browns. He got out of Cleveland, too.
Well, he's almost too good to be true. You know, he's from Mississippi. He goes to Arkansas State. He was troubled as a youngster. Became a born-again Christian, and just an unbelievable leader, leading by example, getting involved in the communities all around that he's associated with. No, a great father figure. Christian, he's almost too good to be true. I mean, I don't know what more can I say about DeMario Davis, but he's not only a Pro Bowl player, he's an All-Pro to me. I mean, I think he's playing on that level. And that dominant right now, Christian, if you look at it, impactful plays. He's tied for the lead right now for sacks. He has 3 sacks. Him and Passagnoli both have 3 sacks. If you look at quarterback hurries, quarterback pressures when you're sending a stunt, he's tied for the team league with Passagnoli. They both have 6. But he's by far and above. When you look at tackles for a loss, it's not even close. He has 8. Hitting the gap, blowing up linemen, and getting the back in the backfield and for a loss, tackle for a loss, he has 8. Double D, DeMario Davis. You know highly I think of Bobby Wagner for the Seahawks?
Yeah.
When you look at his career as a double-digit 10-year career, right? He's surpassed Bobby Wagner. And when those great Seattle defenses, Bobby Wagner is a big part of that. Well, DeMario Davis, he's like 32 years of age right now, going into his 10th season. Christian, he's playing like he's 22 or 23 at a high level, but understands his responsibilities and what's required right by him as far as his leadership.
He is the leader on that team.
No, he is the leader. Without a doubt. He gets him
over Cam Jordan,
the game.
Over Jameis Winston, that's the leader, leader.
He is the team leader, and not only leading by example, but he's the vocal leader. He is the vocal and lead by example leader on the team. Now, I'd say Malcolm Jenkins behind the scenes would lead a lot by example, and then if you ask for his leadership, he could give it to you and guidance. But Cam Jordan still, but Cam can be a little flaky at times, not as stable, I would say. He gave you, like, what is Cam telling me? But DeMario Davis, you know what he's telling you and where he's coming from. Offense, who do we have? I don't know.
Jameis?
No.
But he's not wearing a captain's patch.
He ain't been here long enough. Alvin Kamara.
Teron Armstead. Ryan Ramczyk.
I would say Ramczyk. No, I'd say more Teron Armstead. Toronto State got beat a couple of times today, Chris. He didn't have one of his better games, but right now we have nowhere near the leader offensive like we do on the defensive side of the ball, on the offensive side, I think.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, the point after here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Saints defense collected 5 sacks in the win over the Seattle Seahawks. Cam Jordan got his first of the year. Cam Jordan, Saints defensive end, spoke to the media following the victory. Brought to you by the Hood Automotive Group. Everything automotive under one hood. This is Cam Jordan.
The way we did. It wasn't, in my mind, it wasn't as close as it was. I think that our defense played with a lot of speed and intensity and the right mindset the entire game, albeit that one play explosive, the one explosive that they had from the King Orc Smurf. Mr. Blue Hair, I'm spazzing on his name. DK Metcalf, whoo, sorry. Nothing. We just played our defense. I think we had everything. We had the right game plan. We have to execute the way we know how to execute. I think they have a talented wide receiver core. I think they are clearly adjusting to their new quarterback at helm. But they have a great defense, and you have leaders like we witnessed. Battles between two of the top linebackers in this game going at it. It's pretty fun to be a part of. I think, with our defensive line getting healthier and healthier each and every week, it's going to be even more fun. As we get healthier and healthier every week, it's going to become even more fun. When Marcus came back, I was excited. We have a package where it's me, Tano, Marcus, and, I'm not getting more and more excited for maybe the next lineman coming back, but it's getting good.
Yeah, how about that guy?
David. I don't want to talk about it until he's there. It's like trying to open up a Christmas present too early. You just got to wait your turn.
Is he going to talk your ear off when he gets back?
David, not mine. Probably the person in front of him. And, I'm going to send him flowers after. I mean, that's a lot of anger. He's just been like rattling the cage. I know he has. Can't wait for my guy to get back. It's lifting and getting stronger. Body's going to be fresh. I mean,
Cam, when you guys get weeks out in the schedule in this game and you look back on what this obviously the final score line, what does stand out besides just having a win?
What is the question there?
When you get further along in the schedule, look back on this play, what do you think is going to stand out the most aside from
I hope it'll just be the win. Other than the confidence that we get for the defense for finishing out like this, as we get further away from here, we look back. I hope it tallies up more and more wins. At the end of the year, it doesn't matter, how close the games were. It matters about the win column. As we try and get to our goal, we have to get more and more W's. And the question is,
how does that make you feel, like, confidence-wise in the
team? In the grand scheme of things?
Just knowing how, kind of y'all used to play here.
In the grand scheme of things, at the end of the day, it's about getting this win. Again, I think it's a great confidence builder. I think, as we get healthier, even on the offensive side of the ball, we saw Teron come back. You saw Traquan come back. Defense side of the ball, you saw Quan get back to the field. We have some talent that is still coming back. And so we're only going to get stronger from here. As much fun as we had tonight, I think there's still a lot of places we can clean stuff up. We did let explosive go. And had we not, I think we could have held them to a lower score than what they had. Noise. I don't know if there was a question in there, but yes, I think the defense responded well. They had the huge explosive We go to the sideline, and again, it's the second series. We go, hey, we're playing our type of defense. We're playing our football, and that's what we have to rely on. When you have guys like Marshawn, you know, who is a stout corner. You had one of the best in the league. You got everybody from Roby to Young Saeed to Chauncey, Malcolm Jenkins, DeMario Kwan, my young buck JoJo Bronson even had his first game at Seattle. There's a lot of energy flying around that defense, and I think it boded well for us.
Were you watching that Marshawn Metcalf interaction the whole time, wondering what was about to happen next?
Yeah, I mean, I think how do I PC this one? I think that when they're trying to create a tougher identity than what they are. That's where you get a lot of more chippery talk. But again, we go back to our basis. We play the football that we want to play, and I think it takes care of itself. We still had a lot of penalties, and we can clear that up. And that could have ended up hurting us more than it did.
I have no idea what you're doing when you're on the sideline, the offense.
Do you
ever watch AK do his thing? And just...
Yeah, I see the replays. The defense is over here, Whatever we're doing, we're focused on trying to improve our play from the series before or installing something new. And so you look at the replay, you're like, AK's AKing. The math is mathing.
Anything else for
Cam? All right, cool.
Saints defensive end Cam Jordan following the 13-10 win over the Seattle Seahawks, and also Marcus Davenport, Bobby, making his return from injury. He was disruptive.
Yeah, Christian, I'm looking at Cam getting a sack, passing y'all. You know what I'm interested in is going to see? And because it's a six-game suspension, right? So David Onyemata can't play Halloween Day against the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it might come a case in point. Where there's a situation where, no, Tom Brady's passing for sure. It's not like third and short, whatever. This is like third and eight or more, whatever. There's going to have a situation come about. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And I think Tom Brady might try and run a wide receiver screen or get the ball out of his hands and not be pumping it back there. When you're going to rush NASCAR version of like Cam Jordan, passing you, Davenport and David Onyemata. Somebody singled, and I'll tell you, they can't block everyone. And I look at the bull rush today. I don't know if I've ever witnessed this. I don't know how the official called a personal foul on Davenport. Well, what? Because he crushed the tackle? He literally ran over the tackle into the quarterback. And he got a personal foul penalty. When they showed the replay, I said, well, did they get the wrong player? How can they call that on Davenport? He abused his opponent, slap ran him over, and he goes into the quarterback. I mean, how can that be a penalty? You know the play I'm talking about?
Yeah, his arm just hit Geno Smith.
I mean, he's just rushing, he's going, and he's running over the tackle. Christian, I'm telling you, I just hope
that was a terrible call.
I hope and pray that Davenport can stay healthy, because he's a son of a gun. I'm telling you what, and you can talk to our top tackles, and they'll tell you that'd be Ryan Ramczyk or Teron Armstead how good and the force that Marcus Davenport has, and he has enough skill set, the different rush moves that he has, not just a bull rush, but when he wants to bring it, Christian, he could put a lot of 300 men. On their back, like their feet are off the ground and they're landing on their
neck.
They're
on skates. They put them on skates.
On skates, and then they get off balance and they landed on their shoulder blades. They're on their neck. Come on, Davenport, please stay healthy because I know you can play. I know you can get it done. So I'm looking all hands on deck. David Onyemata coming back. You got Davenport. You got Cam Jordan. You got Passanio. We don't even know about Peyton.
Peyton Turner is inactive today.
Yeah, so I mean, well, I don't know. So that's another plug-and-play guy. So Christian, I think we couldn't ask for a better result. Now, I would say maybe one less loss, But you'd almost have to accept where you're at. Obviously, you want to be like the Cardinals and undefeated, but I'm just trying to keep it real. I think we're about as good as it gets right now, considering how you're controlling your destiny, like I said earlier, having to play Tampa Bay, NFC South, then having to play Atlanta, NFC South, going forward. I mean, listen, that's why this is a big win. It was ugly, but it was still a win, and I'm really encouraged by that.
Time now for the power play of the game in the Saints' 13-10 victory over the Seattle Seahawks, brought to you by Caesars. Harrah's New Orleans, a Caesars reward destination. We'll give it to Alvin Kamara.
47 seconds to play, first and 10, balls at the 13. Snap, he loses the handle, Winston, but now completes it to Kamara at the 10. 5, touchdown, Alvin Kamara, touchdown, Saints. They do it this time in the red zone, but what a job by Jameis Winston. 13 yards, he loses the snap, picks it up, and hits Alvin Kamara.
Right back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. We find Don in Lakeview. What's going on, Don? You're on the point after on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing. I'm sitting here waiting to talk to you guys and let you go get off the show.
All right.
Listen, I'm just sitting here scratching my head because I for me, the jury's still out on Jameis Winston. I just don't know which one's going to show up.
Well, me too. I think a lot of us are like that, Don.
Yeah, I mean, I think about Eli when I was watching some of that tonight. And that was actually pretty good, he and Peyton. And then when Drew was on, that really made it special. And Eli tells Drew, he goes, you're going to hate this. Because on the one that we ended up with the field goal, there was a tight end screen to the left that was wide open. That's who he was supposed to go to, and he missed it.
You mean completely the one to Troutman when Troutman was wide open? That one you're talking about?
On the left-hand side. Yeah, Kamara went right. Everybody went right. And Troutman was on the left-hand side.
He was open by like 10 yards.
he tiptoed into the end zone.
Yeah.
And so, but he misses that. And so, you know, and then some of these receivers, some of the passes that he was throwing, it's like, oh, my God. You know, it seems like he takes a long time. You know, he spots a receiver. He's got to wait for the guy to come clear open. You know, I can think back, and I don't want to complain with Drew.
No,
but,
you can't.
You know, as soon as the guy would come open in the seam, or as soon as the guy would come open, you know, on an out, the ball was there. He didn't wait to make sure he was going to take two more steps and be clear.
Right.
The ball was there. As soon as he came open, the ball was there. And I don't know if Winston has that capability to do that, but in the offense that we have, it's almost imperative that you be able to do that. You know, because we run a lot of scenes.
Don, a lot like what you're saying, there was a 3rd-and-2 situation. You know how Jameis early talked to the media and Shauna said you had the bye week? What can I do a better job as far as the short routes, the easy throws, where you're throwing a catchable ball? Now, a catchable ball could be intercepted or caught if it's not accurate, but not throwing a pass that's 8 or 10 yards like you would maybe in route that's 15 to 20 yards. You're taking a little bit off of it, okay? There was a 3rd-and-2 play, and Jameis to Callaway, and I'm like, it was a short throw. I mean, Jameis threw it to the outside. Callaway just threw it to the inside. You got a first down. He threw it into the coverage. And you might say, well, it's not that far off, but that makes all the difference in the world. Whether you're getting yards after the catch, and then you helping your receiver to avoid the hit, and it's a completion. Like a simple throw like that, people don't realize that's not that far, but where is the ball placed? It matters which shoulder the ball is thrown depending on where the defender comes up. Now, Don, with that being said, there was a couple of throws that, it hit him in the hands, and Jameis throws a pretty long ball. Kevin White and Kenny Stills. I mean, two drop passes on big throws. Big throws down the field, and both Kevin White and Kenny Stills dropped it. You got to catch it. The bottom line, you're a pro. Come on. You're a pro. And now it didn't matter this game, but then when you're going to reflect, and as the season progresses, if you have an opportunity, you only get so many chances. If you're Kevin White or even Kenny Stills, you got to make the catch. You got to make the catch because that's the difference of whether you're winning or losing the game. Whether you're having to punt or you're having sustained drives, now you're in scoring position, and you're getting a field goal, maybe ultimately a touchdown, you got to make those catches. So that's okay. I look at three long balls Jameis threw, and you know, I'm not always taking up for Jameis, but he's had opportunities. He had 35 attempts, but I'm just looking at those three passes that went incomplete. At the beginning of the game, Tre'Quan Smith, keep running. You're definitely going to have a big play, or you might take it to the house for a touchdown. He stops running. Big chunk play. It might be almost like a DK Metcalf type play for score, okay? He stops running, incomplete. Then when you look at Kevin White, dropped a long ball. That's a 30-plus yard gain. Kenny Stills, same type play, 30-plus yards. All of a sudden, you add that all up. Shoot, that's another 100 yards passing. And then all of a sudden, you're throwing for over 300 yards. And then all of a sudden, you're like 22 of 35 instead of 19 of 35. So, I mean, it all goes hand in hand. If I could put Drew Brees' mind, now, I'm making this as like a fantasy. If I could put Drew Brees' mind or put Jameis Winston's, no, I don't want Jameis Winston's arm. I want Drew Brees' mind and Drew Brees' accuracy, maybe with Jameis Winston's arm with the deep balls. I can tell you right now, Pat Mahomes or anybody, you know who's number one in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, whatever, would be Drew Brees. It would be Drew Brees. But that was the one thing Drew was lacking. There's one thing Jameis does not have is that accuracy with a simple throw. I'm not those hard throws. That's hard downfield, and Jameis is outstanding. The accuracy and knowing the offense, where to go with the ball, but nothing's perfect. I'm just telling you, this type of game that we played tonight, if Russell Wilson is playing as great as our defense is, I don't think we win this type of game by only scoring 13 points. I truly believe that Russell Wilson would have made a difference and our offense would have had to play a whole lot better if Russell Wilson was playing.
Don, thanks for the phone call. We'll step away and come back. This is The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, 13-10 Saints win over the Seattle Seahawks. Jameis Winston, 19 of 35 on the night, 222 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, a quarterback rating of 83.3. Here is the Saints signal caller after the win.
We wanted to win, and that's what happened, so they played out just like we wanted.
How nice is it to have AK to lean on, like you were able to, especially in that first half, especially in that two-minute drive?
Yeah, I talk about how great of a player he is and how healthy he is to this offense just in general. AK is one of the most dominant players in this league. So it's always exciting when you put the ball in his hands and watch the things that he does.
And when you're dropping the snap on that touchdown pass and you look up and you see him open, and it probably feels pretty good.
Yeah, it was a great call, and I'm happy he was able to get in there. Yeah, it was just good. It was good to get in the rhythm, get E and T back. You know, those guys are leaders up there on that line. So it was just good to see them, you know, have a great game and stay healthy.
How difficult were those conditions out there, especially just with the wind? I don't know if the rain was.
No, I mean it wasn't that bad. It just was a gritty game, man. They played good football and we played some good football. So it was definitely a tough out game.
Was there a more concerted effort today to try to get some of the deep passes going? It seems like the ball rocketing out of your hand on some of them.
I mean, I wish we could have hit a few, you know. But like I said, we're gonna continue to get better. Happy to have Kevin up. He was open on a few of them. I wish I could have connected with him. But like I said, we're gonna continue to get better and get healthy. In that receiver room, and just keep working.
Get healthy in that receiver room. Is that about Mike Thomas? You looking forward to him getting back?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking back for Mike to get back. You know, but it was good to have TQ back out there playing at a high level. So I'm happy that he was able to get in the groove a little bit.
Cameras got you guys having an animated conversation on the sideline. I think it might have been 30.
Who?
You and Traquan.
Mm.
Just be the moments type of stuff?
Or? No, just communication. We had to be on the same page, and that's it.
Was there something that happened on that specific play? I think that was the play that was upset. Like that kind of prompted that, or anything else trying to?
No, we were just communicating. You know, when everyone gets to talking, I just wanted to be me and him, you know, so that's all.
James, how much do you second guess running sometimes, taking off the ball? Tonight you had, I think, four plays were nice games, first downs. Did you ever like, second guess yourself on when to go and when not? So I know you're always looking downfield.
Yeah, I'm always trying to pass. You know, I'm always trying to look downfield and get a completion. It's not really second guessing. I'm just feeling the situation and trying to assess the coverage and see if I can get the ball down the field and then take off and run.
So you want the run to be kind of the last resort thing?
Absolutely.
Anything else for James?
Does it take a while to get back on the same page, like if a receiver has been gone as long as Traquan has? I'm talking about any receiver that's coming back. Like, how long is that process usually before you two can kind of start communicating without really, I guess, having to discuss it? I mean, that's
got to
be difficult.
I think it's just a feel. You know, this is first game back, tough environment to play. So just making sure that everyone hears the play correctly and everyone is on the same page. But in terms of talent and execution, like, he's just an incredible receiver. So it was good to get him back, good to get him a good experience against a tough defense. Yeah.
In that case, I mean, I'm assuming that just means you know that other guys have one-on-one in that case?
Yeah, we just got to win on the outside, and we will. They had a great game plan the second half of doubling AK, and we're going to have an answer for that. All right, thank you.
Saints quarterback Jameis Winston, 13-10 victory for the Saints.
And he's saying the right thing. He's trying to be nice to Traquan. But I mean, I don't know. He said, oh, Traquan, TQ, whatever, is a great receiver. Great. Like, in what day and age? I mean, you got to go out there and do it on the field. And, I mean, I could tell you maybe I'm too vocal, and I don't know if players could handle this. But on that play, when he stopped running, I'd be like, what in the hell are you doing? Come on, Traquan, run. TQ, you got to run. You got a touchdown. I'm going to get you the ball.
Why do you think he stopped?
Because he didn't think James was going to throw it to him. He says, okay, I ran my route. He's not coming to me. And maybe Drew Brees wouldn't have thrown that tight pass. But James can. And to set the tone, think about what that would have done. That's almost like running, you score big. That's almost like running a punt return or scoop and score to set the tone in Seattle. And you're up 7-0 instead of down 7-0. That's why you can't give up on a play. And I think Kenny Stills, Traquan, whoever, Christian, if you look, Kevin White, whoever, I think Michael Thomas is going to know this, that if you got a deep route, Deontay Harris knows this. Seems like Deontay Harris is everyone thinks of Deontay Harris getting the ball in space and the deep threat. I know Mike Dettillier, we've talked about this. We all know as him as a returner, and we miss him in the return game. Why in the hell Marquez Callaway is always calling fair catch? Fair catch, fair catch. Like two or three times. Deuce even said it. Come on, run. Nobody's around you. Are you scared? Catch the punt and run. That's where we miss Deontay Harris, the hidden yardage, how you flip the field. That didn't happen, but Deontay Harris, what he does, not only in return game, not only a deep threat, but how he runs routes and how he's going full speed. I'm telling you, besides when Michael Thomas is coming back, all our receivers on the roster, you know who's number two? It's Deontay Harris. Not Callaway, not Traquan Smith, not any of those other cats. It's Deontay Harris because he's proven to me, watching him in practice, how he runs routes, and also being that deep threat for Jameis Winston.
Famous in Natchitoches on our Urquhart & Hart Jewelers talking text lines. Go ahead, Famous. You're on the Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
All right, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Famous. Who's Famous from Natchitoches? I went to school at Northwestern in Natchitoches.
Yeah, I know. It's nice up here, guys. I'm from New Orleans, but I had a nickname in New Orleans called FEMA. So.
Okay. Okay. So you living in Natchitoches now or what?
Moved up here after Katrina.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. Famous, what you got?
I'm a big Saints fan. Guys, that drive right before the half when they scored that touchdown, Winston showed me a lot in that drive. He took command of the huddle. He got the guys up to the line and, you know, got them right down the field. And then when he had that bad snap, he took the moment and just picked up the ball with his left hand.
He didn't panic.
Kamara, I mean, he made a heck of a play, guys.
Yeah, he made a heck of a play, and that shows he has big hands, how he was able to pick up that ball considering the conditions. Went out with one hand, didn't panic. I think it kind of froze the defense. Because all of a sudden, you kind of glance and you see. Mm-hmm. And he knew where Kamara was going to have that outlet. No, it kind of it worked out. It wasn't planned that way, but it just shows you the athleticism of Jameis to be able to do that and recover when all of a sudden you have a botched snap and still make a great play.
You mean it wasn't designed?
No, it was not. Believe you me, it was not designed like that happened. Sean Bainview pulling out his hair, if that was designed.
Famous, thanks for the phone call. That's a wrap here for the point after. And we'll, okay, this is a wrap for the point after here momentarily. Sean Ross at Master Control, thank you so much for your efforts as well. Chad and Metairie, I'm sorry we didn't get to your phone call. Call Bobby and Mike tomorrow on the second guest show. They're doing that from 4 to 7. And it is the Saints Hour from 7 to 8 right here back on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. And 13 to 10, Saints win over the Seattle Seahawks.
And Christian, before you know it, you know, short week because we played on Monday night, Halloween. Sunday's going to be here before you know it. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are coming to town. To me, this is a game. This is going to be an old school, Mercedes, Caesar Superdome atmosphere where I think the fans are truly going to be into it.
On Halloween night, we love to get dressed up in this
they're
town.
They're going to be dressed up. Hopefully the Saints win. Then you go trick-or-treating right after that. It's going to be – this is, to me, this is almost the new prime time. Instead of like Sunday night or Monday night or Thursday night, truly a lot of fans are starting to watch the game for the nation. I forgot what they call it.
Fox Game of the Week.
Game of the Week. That's it, Christian. That late game on Sunday afternoon, where that's us in Tampa Bay, come this Sunday before you know it.
All right, that's a wrap here on the point after. Once again, Saints win 13-10 over the Seattle Seahawks. They're now 4-2. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out. Bobby, do you think?
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat? Go Saints. Saints win.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.